The Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners."
Do keep that passage open before you. And this morning, we're looking at a story in the Bible about someone who had a very serious problem. Now, in our studies so far in Mark, we've been reading about people with problems which are immediately obvious as problems to us. People who were demon-possessed or who had leprosy or who were paralyzed. But our passage today is about a tax collector. And we might be thinking, well, what's the problem there? Well, to be a tax collector in Roman-occupied Israel was a serious issue. Why? Because the tax collectors collected taxes for the Romans. They collected taxes for Herod, the puppet kings of the Romans. Tax collectors were despised by most Jews as collaborators with the enemy. And also as cheats, because they lined their own pockets by asking for more money than the authorities required. And people steered clear of them. They avoided being their friends. Even their families were thought to be tainted and best avoided. Tax collectors were excluded from community activities like going to the temple or to the synagogue. They weren't allowed there. Their money was considered to be defiled. They weren't allowed to put their money into the collection at the temple. They couldn't even serve as a witness in a court of law. And also, you know, there was that great celebration that the Jewish people were looking forward to. Because of Old Testament prophecies, they were looking forward to the time when God's King, the Messiah, would appear. And many expected the Messiah would be a great military leader, someone who would kick out the hated Roman occupying army, and then there was to be a great celebration, a great feast called the Messianic Banquet. But what we may not be aware of is this, that many Jews thought that there would be restrictions on who would be allowed to go to that banquet. And there are no prizes for guessing that tax collectors would have been on the excluded list. That can't have been easy to live with, can it? If you were a tax collector, you couldn't come before God's presence. You couldn't go to the temple. And you weren't going to be welcome at the very event which everybody else was looking forward to the most. Imagine how you might feel if that were you. Imagine how that would feel today. If people avoided you, they didn't want their children to be friends with your children. They didn't want to see you at church. You weren't invited to go to the women's convention. How would you feel? So now we know a little of the background. Let's get into the story and see what happened when a tax collector called Levi met Jesus. And as a sort of overarching theme, I want to be thinking about hospitality. Because the opposite of being excluded is being shown hospitality as being welcomed. Hospitality is all about welcome and relationship and friendship, isn't it? And what we'll see in this account is the hospitality of the Lord Jesus. We will see how Jesus' hospitality relates to his identity. We will see the kind of hospitality Jesus demonstrated. And we will see the effect that Jesus' hospitality had on those around him, and what his hospitality can tell us about his mission, what it tells us about the reason he had come into the world. So firstly, how did Jesus' hospitality relate to his identity? Let's get into the story with verse 14. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Now, Levi was a tax collector in Galilee. He would have been in the service of Herod Antipas, who was the king there under the Romans. And the fact that Levi's tax collector's booth was beside the lake is significant because it suggests that he probably collected taxes from the fishing industry, from fishermen. So here was Levi working away, collecting taxes for King Herod. And I guess Levi was very alert to what was going on around him, because it wouldn't have done, would it, for any naughty fishermen to have sneaked up to the market with their fish and dodged paying him their tax. But you know, this day was different. This day, Levi's attention was diverted away from fish and fishermen, away from taxes and money, because the Lord Jesus was there. Look with me again at verse 14. As Jesus walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him. And we read, Levi got up and followed him. Levi left his old life of service to King Herod and instead entered the service of another king. He entered the service of King Jesus, who was announcing the arrival of the kingdom of God. It doesn't sound as if Levi shut up his tax collector's booth in an orderly, normal way, or gave in his notice, or deposited his last day's takings at Herod's palace. All we read is this: and Levi got up and followed him. Amazing change. The scene now moves to a meal. Look with me at verse 15. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. There's a little ambiguity, perhaps deliberate, in the original Greek of this verse, perhaps to make us ask a question. Who was the host here? Was Levi the host? Or was Jesus the host? Or were they, in a sense, both hosting this meal? Think of the Lord's Supper of communion as an example. Who hosts the Lord's Supper? Well, in a sense, it's the church, isn't it? The church provides the bread and the wine, the seats and the building. But I suspect most Christians would feel strongly that it is actually the Lord Jesus who is the true host, who stands behind all that the church does in making those practical arrangements. And I suggest that this meal at Levi's house was similar. Levi provided the venue, the food, and made all the practical arrangements. But behind Levi's hospitality stood the hospitality of Jesus. The hospitality of the king into whose service Levi had so recently been called. The king who, far from excluding tax collectors from his messianic banquet, was happily sitting at the same table as Levi, at the same table as the other tax collectors, at the same table as the many sinners who followed him. And I suspect there's an echo here of another of Israel's kings. Those of you who are Bible students will remember King David and the time when he fled into the wilderness to the cave of Adullam to evade King Saul, who was seeking to kill him. You can read all about it in 1 Samuel 22. But listen to verse 2 from that chapter. And everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was bitter in soul, gathered to him, to David, and he became captain over them. Do you see the similarity there? Do you hear it? Jesus and David were both God's chosen kings, but operating on the margins of society. David and Jesus were both opposed by the established political power. And in both these situations, who was it that gathered around God's kings? Who was taken in and welcomed and shown hospitality and provided for by God's kings? It was those who were in distress. It was those who were in debt. Those who were bitter in soul. The tax collectors, the sinners. How does Jesus' hospitality relate to his identity? Well, let me suggest that like King David, Jesus was hospitable precisely because he was God's king. Not the sort of king who took from his people so he could live a life of luxury himself, but the sort of king who cared for his people, who cared for those who were in distress, who provided for those in need. We read Psalm 72 earlier, a psalm which describes the reign of God's king. Listen again to verses 12 and 13. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. When you cannot help yourself, when you come to the end of your own resources, when you have no friend or family to turn to, when you are in distress or in debt or bitter in soul, then who do you look to? Look to the Lord Jesus for his royal hospitality. Look to him for his royal welcome. Look to him for his royal help. But what of our second question? What kind of hospitality did Jesus demonstrate? Well, we need to think more about those tax collectors and sinners. Who were these people? Tax collectors and sinners was a first century sort of technical term for a class of people who were shunned by the respectable and the religious. A class of people who showed no interest in Israel's religious traditions. Think for a moment about Levi. Think about his name. Who would have a name like that? Perhaps someone from the tribe of Levi. Who were the tribe of Levi, the Levites? Well, they were the tribe specially set apart to take care of the temple and of its worship. So Levi may well have been seen as someone whose life had been a particular disappointment. Someone who had so turned his back on his family's religious tradition that far from being the one who took care of the temple, he was the one who was excluded from the temple. Someone who had turned his back on God and the family's special calling. But notice it is precisely to people like this that the Lord Jesus was hospitable. So what kind of hospitality did Jesus demonstrate? He demonstrated a gracious hospitality. Gracious because his hospitality was extended not to those who were the upright pillars of society, not to the religious, not to the respectable, not to those you might think might deserve his hospitality, but to those who had messed up, to those who had turned their backs on God. And so I say the Lord Jesus' hospitality was gracious. Gracious because he was welcoming and hospitable to those who didn't deserve to receive his welcome, to those who didn't deserve to receive his hospitality. Notice there is something remarkable happening here. Levi, because he was a collaborator, he couldn't go to God in the temple. And yet at the very point of his collaboration, at the tax collector's booth itself, God came to him in the person of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to hear this story ourselves, don't we? For like Levi, we are collaborators. We are collaborators with sin. And that sin excludes us from God's presence. As we prayed earlier, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. And because of our sin, we cannot go to God. We cannot stand in God's presence. And yet, because of his great love for us, God comes to us in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, this gracious King, and he shows us hospitality, just as he did to Levi all those years ago. Now, we need to consider the effect Jesus' hospitality had on those around him. And there are two groups of people we need to consider. There are Jesus' disciples on the one hand, and on the other, there are the Pharisees. Well, let's think first about those disciples. And I suggest to you that for the disciples, Jesus' hospitality was an uncomfortable hospitality. Why was that? Well, have you ever wondered how the disciples felt when the Lord Jesus called Levi? Who were those other disciples? Let's remind ourselves from chapter 1 and verse 16. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake. Who casts nets into lakes? For they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said. And when he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Who prepares nets? Fishermen. So do you think they knew Levi? I guess they did. Do you think there was some history there, a bit of bad blood? I guess there was. You know, fishing was hard, physical work. You toiled, often through the night, in a small boat on a cold, dangerous sea where storms could blow up at any time. And then you brought your catch back to the shore in the morning, physically worn out. Who was sitting there in his nice, warm, comfortable tax collector's booth, rubbing his hands, waiting for his cut? Levi. I guess Simon, Andrew, James, and John took some time to settle down to the idea that Levi was part of Jesus' inner circle. But isn't that what the Lord Jesus does? Isn't Jesus' hospitality often an uncomfortable hospitality because he delights to welcome people into his family, into his church, people who wouldn't normally get on together? Much as we might like it to be, Jesus' hospitality is not restricted to people like us. And this can cause tensions and problems amongst his disciples, can it not? In New Testament times, there were tensions when Jews and non-Jews were mixed in the churches of the ancient world. And the Lord Jesus' hospitality can still be uncomfortable today when it reaches across class barriers, educational barriers, cultural and generational barriers. But this is a mark of the true church, that people in the churches get on who wouldn't normally get on. This is a demonstration to the world around that supernatural power is at work in the church. So we need to test ourselves here. Are we seeking to form a visible community here out of those who, apart from the hospitality of the Lord Jesus, would never cross one another's paths? Do people get on at Arborfield Church who, apart from God's supernatural work, would never naturally get on with one another? But never naturally care for one another. But you know, there were other people involved, weren't there? And we need to consider the effect Jesus' hospitality had on the Pharisees. So let's think about that. You would think that if the Lord Jesus' hospitality reached across barriers of class, education, culture, and generation, it would be something that everybody could agree was a good thing. That's what you'd think. And I guess today in our Western culture, it would meet with general approval. But the first century was a very different world. Look with me at verse 16. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Well, who were the Pharisees? The Pharisees were the spiritual leaders, really, of the Jewish nation. And their view was that they must keep themselves away from everything which they thought was impure in God's sight. And as Jesus' ministry developed, they had increasing trouble with him. They couldn't get their heads round why he showed hospitality to tax collectors and sinners. They couldn't understand it, because from their point of view, any serious religious teacher would never mix with those people, because they were so careful to avoid them in case they were tainted and polluted by them. And they couldn't understand why the Lord Jesus seemed to go out of his way to meet them and to eat with them and to talk with them. So when they asked, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" their question was really a sort of sneery criticism. It was a sneery criticism because although the disciples would have found Jesus' hospitality uncomfortable, for the Pharisees it was absolutely outrageous and shocking. Look with me at verse 17 to see how the Lord Jesus responded to them. On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." The point of Jesus' response is that it's no surprise to find a doctor among the sick.